comments from organizations and individuals. And we're going to talk only about the issues that are on the 2018 draft TLAB. There were oral presentations in Parliament on 21st of August. We did workshops with the stakeholders on 4th and 5th of September. And we are continuing to have meetings set with the stakeholders on the three big issues. And because everyone is here, we're going to go to the business text, of which there were three big issues there. And the three big issues on business tax, the first one was tax treatment of amounts contributed, received or accrued to the portfolios of collective investment schemes. I think it should be slide. Slide 18. Okay, in this regard, we proposed changes in the 2018 draft TLAB on these issues, and we proposed the one-year holding period rule, the first-in, first-out method, and the treatment of losses. As you are aware, Chair, you were chairing on the 21st of August, whereby they made presentations regarding the negative impact on the industry. And from those presentations, we had meetings with both the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, and we had workshops and we had meetings with the industry as well, that is ASISA. And based on the discussions regarding that, the matter should be postponed up until a study is done. That was the request of the industry. And based on the discussions with the FSCA, our response to this is that we partially accept that the matter should be postponed and that government given more time together with the industry to investigate the matter so that we lessen the negative impact on the industry, and then any changes should be looked in the 2019, that is in the following year budget cycle. That is our proposal. And then secondly, that government continues to find ways to mitigate tax avoidance risk through regulations by the FSCA, because based on the meetings, there were regulatory issues that could be done, and then we're saying that, but we still need to do the proposal that we postpone it in the following next year's budget cycle, but we try and have discussions again with the industry and to find solutions in this regard. That was the first issue. And then the second issue was the clarification of the tax treatment of doubtful debts. What is happening here is that in 2015, we removed away the commissioner's discretion in the Income Tax Act, and what was left was Section 11J. You remember last year, we did the tax treatment of doubtful debts for banks, and we said this year we're going to do non-banks. So the proposals that we have for non-banks, we had two proposals, the ones that are using IFRIS and the ones that the small businesses that do not use IFRIS. And we said small businesses that are not using IFRIS, you use the age analysis of debt. You say if the debt is more than 90 days, you 25% of doubtful debt allowances. And then for IFRIS, we said 25% based on IFRIS 9. There were a lot of comments on this to say that the view was that the banks were given favorable treatment than non-bank lenders. And we accept that, but we are saying that banks that are registered in terms of the Banks Act are highly regulated. And we said that this treatment is fair because the non-bank lenders are only regulated in terms of the Credit Act. They are not even regulated in terms of the market conduct and prudential. So those are the issues that we put forward. But that said, in order to mitigate the impact that the non-bank lenders may have, we are proposing 25% if the debt in terms of IFRS 9 or 40%, anything above that. What is happening is that those who are not having IFRS 9, we're still going to use the age analysis of the debt. So we are saying that 40% if the doubtful debt is 120 days past due. That is for small businesses. And 25% if the doubtful debt is at least 60 days past due. So that is our proposal. So we've got now two percentages, the 25 and 40. In the draft TLAB, we only had 25%. So again here, we're still going to have a meeting with the industry before the bill is tabled. And the third issue that was mostly contested was the venture capital companies, whereby we closed the abusive schemes regarding the trading. And then there was an issue that if we limit the VCC on the issue of different class of shares, we'll be limiting the industry in terms of trading, and because that's how the industry is. So the first thing that we're going to do here, We are saying that in terms of the effective date, those VCCs that have already got issued those different class of shares is okay. So it will be shares issued on or after 1 January 2019. So if you are already in that structure, you are fine, you are not impacted. That is the first issue that we're going to do. And the second issue that we're going to do is that we allow the VCC to issue at least 20%, like you must not have at least 20% of different class of shares, meaning that 20, 20, 20, 20, 100. So that's what we are proposing. And then we propose another test that is to limit the risk of trading. That is, the VCC cannot trade with, it can have at least about 50% of the income from the qualifying company, that is the VCC investor and the connected person. And also we scheduled a meeting here for Friday, the 14th of September with the VCC industry to present the proposals to them and to find workable solutions. But based on the workshop, on the three big issues, these are our proposals. The CIS we withdraw for now. We work with the industry, but we put it back on the 2019 budget proposal, and the FSCA will find ways to mitigate by regulation. And then the non-bank lenders is 25 and 40% instead of only 25%. And the VCC, we allow you to issue different class of shares, but no one can have more than 20% of different class of shares. And we allow you to trade, but you cannot get at least more than 50% of the income from the qualifying company.
Thank you. Any responses on those specifics?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the engagement that has happened in this legislative process. I think there is an improvement from year to year, and I'm not saying we started with a bad base, but I do think we are improving. We had engagement before the bill was issued in draft, and now we're going to have further individual meetings on topics, and we also obviously had the Treasury workshops. I do caution the Treasury should be careful not to be swayed by who shouts the loudest. I think in certain industries, you know, we saw that half of the auditorium was filled by the VCC industry in the Treasury workshop because they have a large vested interest. Specific comments, we very much welcome the specific engagement on the CISs and the postponement to give opportunity for that. That's exactly what we asked for. Also the engagement on the VCCs. On the doubtful debt allowance, again, that is welcomed. We're very concerned about the difference still between the banks and the other non-bank lenders, where you're going to have 25% and 40% and no category of debt that is 85%, given that the book looks pretty similar. So that is a big concern. And then a personal interest one from my perspective, which we haven't discussed here, is I do not know whether the proposal on the mining royalty will be withdrawn. I mentioned the previous time that there is a proposal to amend the wording in the mining royalty to so-called give clarity on the treatment of transport insurance handling after a court in this year gave a declarator saying that the wording as it stands gives effect to the purpose of the legislation. There's no lack of clarity at the moment. And we have a Jeremy Gauntlet opinion that he issued to us yesterday saying that this change in wording is actually, or that what the explanatory memorandum says, namely to clarify the policy position, is the purpose of the change in wording is actually an illogical statement. So I do hope that would actually have been addressed. I'm not sure. But alternatively, obviously, we need further consultation on that as well, please.
Thank you, Chair. From the Law Society, specifically on the treatment of doubtful debts, Section 11J, yes, we welcome the proposed engagement. We think that will be extremely useful. There is actually quite a small constituency. At the workshops last week, I don't think there were more than 3, 4, 5 speakers to this topic. I don't know if they are more affected. So if may I just request that the meeting takes place at a time that's convenient for all the relevant handful of affected parties. And I also note that in the response document there's a request for information about what the impact would be. So one does need adequate time to go back to those constituencies and ask them to do their homework. I do know that it is quite difficult for them to do the homework because it involves them interrogating what their IFRS 9 provisions will be in future, and many of them haven't actually done the homework yet. So, you know, it might have to be some approximation of what the impact of the proposed changes would be. If I can just ask, in terms of the scope of reference of the workshops, if it was possible that everything that is, I mean, I've just quickly skimmed through the response document, if it was possible that everything that is mentioned is on the table for discussion, including the concept of having a one-size-fits-all rate, you know, this proposed 40%, 25%, because there were a number of specific concerns which are articulated in the written submissions, the workshops, about the transition from the discretionary regime to the codified regime, which aren't addressed by choosing a rate, whether it's 40%, 80%, it doesn't matter. It's just the concept of having a one-size-fits-all across a whole category of taxpayers who are not at all homogenous is inherently problematic. It will work for some, maybe better than they have, and for others it will be disastrous for their business. There were submissions that were made both before this committee and also in the workshop by individual businesses saying how disastrous the impact could be. And there are taxpayers, and this, unfortunately, we keep getting onto this topic about the other taxpayers versus the banks. It's got nothing to do with respect about banks versus non-banks. This issue about, you know, regulating the allowances must have to do with the accuracy with which certain taxpayers, for whom credit provision is life and death, the accuracy with which they are able to scientifically and in an auditable way predict what debts will go bad. And I think we had the feedback in the previous workshop. Sorry if I'm over running my time. We had the feedback.
I'm really worried about time because we don't have much minutes to respond to two issues.
Thank you, ma'am. We've had feedback in a number of forums that the levels of accuracy are way in excess of 90% for a group of lenders within the broader community. And so it might be difficult to have an approach that's one size fits all, where within that community there are particular taxpayers whose the whole lifeblood of their business is getting these numbers right. So to say to them, well, you know, you must pay tax on 60% of money that you're never going to get in the bank and pay that tax over to the state and never get it back again, and this is something
we can discuss. That's really that they need to deal with on the category of debt. Which they will have to do. Let's not represent the issues that we presented in the last meeting.
No, yes. Thank you. Yeah, we look forward to the interaction. Thank you.
Any further chamber? No?
Yes, just a comment on a brief comment because I was outside. Sorry, apologies for that. I had to take a call. Around the VCCs, I think we welcome the additional engagement on Friday. There's a meeting on Friday with Treasury, I think, and you know, to try and iron out some of the issues and you know, believe that it is a move in the right direction. I think SAFCA and you know, the industry itself will probably be in a better position to comment on the impact of the amendments themselves. So. I think that's the only comment that I can make at this stage.
Okay, can we just take a younger respond on the issue of the declaratory statement, as Erica has raised it, and the rest I think you'll know. That category is an issue that will need several clarifications at this stage. Can we respond to this one? The wording on the declaratory statement.
Okay, on that issue, we have responded in the response statement as to the policy rationale as to this. But that said, we are not proposing any changes to the draft pillar, but we are willing to meet with you. Maybe you can share the opinion with us. But as you can see on the response statement, our response is noted. And then on the issue of doubtful debt, what we said to them is that there were those taxpayers who got rulings. The information is not like those taxpayers who had rulings, they know who are they and they know what is given in the rulings. we are saying that come to us with the rulings, and then we can try to find appropriate transition arrangements. So it's not going to take too long to get that information, because you know that you got a ruling from SARS. So you should come when you have a meeting to say, this is the ruling, because we cannot have appropriate transition measures without the
number. Meeting, I don't think we should debate it,
yes,
because it was said. While dealing only strictly with new issues, is there any other new issues?
Chair, it's Stephen Smith from the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa. I think we'd just like to express a word of gratitude to the policymaker, to SARS, and to the FSCA for what was a good consultation process. We do believe that there's a mixture of issues with respect to CIS, the CIS issue, which is a very big issue spanning a vast amount of money, and a practice that has existed for 50 years, and therefore does warrant the homework that they're proposing, and we commit ourselves to work with them in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you still have another 10 minutes to take the three other issues in the aisle?
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. Just on the ETI, so in the draft TLAB, the Employment Tax Incentive, in the draft TLAB, we proposed an extension of 5 years. The NEDLAC report, there's been very good engagement within NEDLAC on this issue, reviewing the incentive. That report is being finalized as we speak. There was a meeting this morning, so that report will be coming to the committee. At the moment, we're keeping the extension of 5 years, but that report might have a slightly different recommendation, but not in terms of design, just in terms of the length of period. So that's on the ETI. On the retirement, the other big issue and sensitive issue is on the annuitization for Provident Fund members. That was also being discussed in NEDLAC. I can just read perhaps the response on slide 9. So at the moment, the 2018 draft TLAB does not contain amendments, which in effect meant that the annuitization would have come in 2019. But the process of consultation with NEDLAC is still ongoing, and an interim agreement on an approach to retirement reform with timelines is expected shortly. Government will introduce further legislative amendments shifting the effective date of 1 March by 1 or 2 years in line with the NEDLAC constituency's recommendation. So that would be the big change that we would do on the annuitization. We'd shift it out by a year or two given a NEDLAC agreement.
Good, that you will do the shifting. In average,
I think Frank has got it to the Thank you. The target-rich
environment, but this is All right, so it was a disconnected microphone that I was activating that would explain the difficulty. So let's just look at the one that would potentially impact on individuals. So this is an amendment of the definition of provisional taxpayer. The impact of this amendment would be that significantly large capital gains could trigger the requirement to register as a provisional taxpayer. There was some discomfort with that proposal. So what we're doing here is we've accepted that we should be re-looking at it to see if we should or are able to target it more closely to the areas of concern. So we've accepted that, and we are proposing that we re-look at it again next year. The next one is on the next slide. This is around the idea of correcting tax invoices for certain errors that are made on them. I must admit, as a VAT non-expert, listening to the debate about this sometimes makes me wonder if we're debating how many angels dance on the head of a pin, because people have different views as to whether this is necessary or not. We're proceeding on the basis that it is necessary, and we are addressing some of the concerns that have been raised, which are pretty technical in nature but are important to the people who want them. So, for example, some people didn't like the word that the idea that what you had to do was cancel the invoice. They said you can't do that in our accounting system. So we've gone for the more neutral correct. If correct means you need to cancel, then that's what you do. If correct means something else, then that's what you need to do. Just correct the darn thing.
Parliamentary to say that.
I was very careful. I was very careful in the choice of my words there. I did not say anything I trust that was offensive. We also had some questions around the precise wording, and we've tried to take those on board, so it hopefully will address the concerns that were raised there. And then we move on to, since I see some members of the societies here, the deregistration of tax non-compliant tax practitioners. So the idea here was originally, and sorry, that's right towards the end, slide 48. I've just changed my glasses, which is why I'm still battling with them. No, these are just brand new, so I'm having difficulty focusing even distance or nearby. But in any event, my glasses notwithstanding, the question here was originally we proposed 3 months out of 6 as the period of non-compliance. We also had repetitive non-compliance. People were asking us, what do we mean by that? So if we move on to slide 40, the next one, 49. So what we've done here is we've extended the 6 months to 12 months, the overall period you're looking at. We've gotten rid of the concept of repetitive, and instead we say it's an aggregate period of non-compliance of at least 6 months. So now you really have to work at it, not to be compliant. We've also introduced something new, which is the opportunity not only to remedy the non-compliance, which was there originally, but also to demonstrate to us that you have in fact been compliant. The concern here was that sometimes SARS's records may not be completely accurate, so we think you're non-compliant, but you are. So we're specifically making provision for you to come forward and tell us during the notice period that, hang on, things have gone wrong, I am actually compliant, and then if that is the case, problem solved. There are some others that we are not accepting. So, for example, people are saying, well, you know, why don't we make it over 2 years? Well, hang on a second. The issue here is we deal with taxes like employees' tax and VAT, which have a relatively short cycle period. We're not just dealing with personal income tax. I'm sure there's some other areas that would arise, but I think those are three that would engage members and members of the public that are here today.
Well, the last three ones are more technical about whether you want to use the word correct or cancel and so on. I don't know, we'll deal with that at a later stage because it's more about the role that we take in terms of wording. But in terms of the ETI, and is there any other thing that people want to raise? No? No. Honorable Liz, any other comments you want so far? We still have an opportunity to re-engage. Okay, Chair. Okay.
People sometimes lose, the gentleman at the back may be addressed to you. You see, we had public hearings, right? So you spoke. We did, in terms of the rules of Parliament, our responsibility. Then we always encourage you, and they do it anyway, to meet with them, which you did. We sent Zakele and Antonia there, right? Out of that meeting came out this. You're not going to win everything there. Now here you're having another bite at it, right? And finally, as Yanga and Momo and Chris will say, on tax issues the world over, nobody's going to get 100% consensus. So what I'm saying to the co-chair is that those of you who can't be here tomorrow, come. And you also, that's right, she said, well, she'll tie up, but let her speak for herself. But I'm saying also remember that they will be meeting with you at other meetings. Their obligation is not, Parliament can't insist that you'll bash your heads together and come to complete consensus, only then will we adopt the vote. We listen to you, we listen to them, finally we decide. Thanks, I'm done, Tandy, from my side.
By the point, I did say Yanga must know to the issue of the category of debt, because that's the issue that he's raising.
Yeah.
Because they're going to meet, they will further re-engage, and when they come back, we'll reconsider the final engagement. So basically it was, that's why I said he must know to. So he wanted to amplify the point and to the converted already because we have dealt with it before. Thank you very much for your time. We have Erica.
This is a point of order at most, but I'm very interested in the topic of the tax ombuds requesting to address systemic issues without our Prime Minister approval. I think it's to the benefit of taxpayers in
general. Oh, Erika, stay out of that one. It's for us to do, and you said that you are out of order. Let's leave that at that. Who will deal with that? It's a big issue for us. We're dealing with it. So you will just benefit from the outcome, Mr. Chair. It's the issue of the role of the Ombudsman. Okay, Yanga, do you want to say in half a minute anything? No. On everything that has been said, because we're rounding up now. Yes, tomorrow. Yes, we are going to meet tomorrow and look at the most of things.
To be fair to Erika and the Czech Ombuds, the Minister met with the Czech Ombuds on Monday during the site, and the Minister has responded to the Czech Ombuds. So, and because those issues were not in the 2018 draft TLAB, I think Tanji Tanji will be responded to offline.
I spoke to Mr. Leith, right? He's quite clued up on tax. Now, what we're seeking to do tomorrow is I've spoken to Tandy already, on the rates and monetary bill. The only contentious issue left is the VAT. What we can do is adopt informally, because the bill is not a formal bill, all the other policy issues. Similarly here, there are some issues we can signal now, the DA and the ANC, instead of waiting till we come back and say, on these five issues, we're more or less in agreement with Treasury. On these two issues, we're saying go back and just...
What you say now? What are you talking about?
Tomorrow. So we're meeting at 10 like normal. I don't think we need to sit, comrade, till 15:00. Let's see how quickly we go through. But I'm done from my side.
Thank you much. Thank you very much for coming. Tomorrow we continue where we left off. And as the Chair said, tomorrow we're only dealing with non-VAT matters, no policy matters. I think...
Was
all the birds. Yeah. That's Eric.
Thank you, Chair. I'm lost. I'm not sure whether I should be commenting on the response from Treasurer or from the Minister. I'm not sure whether I'll be given an opportunity to respond to the specific response.
Will you be here tomorrow?
I'll make myself available,
yes.
And the Ombud feels that this is an issue that must be addressed.
I prefer it to be discussed offline, Chair, actually, but I don't know, you guys...
What is this happening here? It's not on the agenda, right? The Chair must decide, because Mr. Lisa, I need to make it clear. Tandy, if you don't know, is far more sophisticated on tax issues than I am, apart from other areas. She's the Chair. I'm just sitting here because I have to in terms of parliamentary norms. The Chair can't sit there when he's here. So we're co-chairing. So really, Tandy, it's your what you feel should be done from now on. I'm done. So in other words, I don't know how this issue came up. Eric was not formally invited, but he comes and we welcome him. But if this is an issue, then I think you, Eric, yourself and Yang have to talk about offline, and then you bring a proposal to us tomorrow. But Tandy, I'm over. You're completely chairing now. I'm just sitting here.
Okay, we'll deal with them offline, and then because it will muddy the waters in terms of what we're dealing with as we speak. I'm sorry, we cannot take further hands. We need to allow members to have lunch before they go to the chamber in the next 30 minutes. So if there's... Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.